You might wonder, is it possible for my child with special needs to receive a rich classical Christian education? Issues Etc. guest Cheryl Swope answers yes. With the Simply Classical curriculum created by Cheryl and published by Memoria Press, there's no reason to withhold a beautiful education from any struggling student. Visit classicalspecialneeds.com and save $5 on your next order by using the coupon code LPR. classicalspecialneeds.com.
There is no such thing as a fertilized egg. Eggs do get fertilized, but when they're fertilized, they're no longer eggs that are fertilized. They're human beings.
I think as Christians, we all think about death a little bit more maybe than the normal population, and that's okay because we have comfort in that, and we have comfort in the resurrection.
They are crossless. There is no preaching of the scandal that is the cross. It's mentioned, it's a footnote.
Doctrine and evangelism are hand in hand in the scripture, just like faith and love are hand in hand.
Washington Jet Drivers Love Issues Etc.
Well, it's a long, drawn-out meeting, but the subject matter probably couldn't be more relevant, especially for Christians and in particular for Roman Catholics in the United States. The subject is simply the family. The Roman Catholic Synod on the Family continues in Rome. We're going to be talking with Dr. Jennifer Roback-Morse here for the first few minutes, who recently returned from Rome. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. coming to you live on this Monday afternoon. It's the 12th of October. Thanks for tuning us in. A little bit later, we're going to be talking with Molly Ziegler-Hemingway of The Federalist. Some real-life reviews of Planned Parenthood clinics do not paint a pretty picture. In fact, quite the opposite. We'll talk about what the customers of Planned Parenthood say online after they've been there for a visit or two. Pastor Tom Baker will join us later in the program to teach a Sunday school lesson. Today, it'll be Moses and the 10 plagues in the five chapters of Exodus, chapter 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10. We'll be going through all of those with Pastor Tom Baker, host of the radio show called Law and Gospel. Now, you can join us for the next 2 hours with questions or comments. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Send us an email right here in the studio, talkback at issuesetc.org. Send us a tweet at issuesetc. Our beloved on-demand listeners, use the Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8382. Joining us to talk about the Roman Catholic Synod on the Family, Dr. Jennifer Roback-Morse, a regular guest, founding president of the Ruth Institute, based in San Marcos, California. She taught economics for 15 years at Yale and George Mason Universities, and she's author of the new book, The Sexual Revolution and Its Victims. She recently returned from Rome, where she attended part of the Synod on the Family. Jennifer, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Well, thanks for having me on, Todd.
Well, Roman Catholics always are known for their big meetings, especially when they're held at the Vatican. How important is this big one to Roman Catholics worldwide?
Well, the Synod on the Family is very important to Catholics worldwide because Pope Francis called it ostensibly with the idea of trying to figure out what the Church could do to respond to the pastoral challenges that the family's facing, and it's turning into kind of a free-for-all. Some people seeming to think that important points of doctrine are up for grabs and so on. And the difference between how the Western Church sees it versus how the rest of the world sees it is really quite striking. The cardinals from what we consider the third world, the African cardinals, the Asian cardinals, those people have very different concerns from whether you're going to give communion to to divorced and remarried people. They're concerned about polygamy in their midst. They're concerned about extreme poverty. They're concerned about people getting kidnapped and sold as a child bride. Those kind of things are what's on their mind, you know. The people in the West are obsessed with their sexual revolution issues, and so it's exposing a lot of differences around the globe in terms of how people perceive the family.
When you were there, can you kind of paint a picture for us of what this Synod on the Family actually looks and sounds like?
Well, let me straighten you out here a little bit here, because I didn't mean to mislead you. I was not at the Synod, per se. Nobody's inside that Synod who's not a Synod Father. And in fact, they're being very – one of the problems they're having is is releasing information about what goes on behind closed doors to journalists outside. But I was there prior to the synod for a special conference to be held to help educate people and equip people for dealing with the challenges, particularly those having to do with homosexual practice and how to best deal with persons who are same-sex attracted and how the church might deal with them in a good pastoral way that is not compromising the important teachings that the church has had. So I was there on October 2nd was the event that we were there for, and we interacted with some of the Synod Fathers, and then the Synod itself began on the 4th of October. So I wasn't actually in there, as to how it feels and stuff to be in there, I would have to refer you to some of the reports that are coming out, which is, it's kind of strange that nobody really seems to know exactly what's going on.
When you interacted with some of the men who would actually partake in the Synod itself, what kind of concerns did they express? What kind of information were they seeking?
Well, you know, Cardinal Pell was there at the event that we held was sponsored by Courage International. And Courage International is the Roman Catholic outreach to persons who are same-sex attracted. And it's basically a pastoral organization. It's not therapeutic. It's designed to be pastoral, to help people lead chaste lives and to be closer to Jesus. That's what it's all about. And so we wanted that perspective to be available. So there were several people there who are same-sex attracted, who are married or who are not married, who are Roman Catholics, and many of whom have had kind of a past, you might say, but who have abandoned all of that and who are following the teachings of Christ. And so most people wanted to hear what they had to say. You know, they wanted to hear, why did you leave the gay lifestyle after however many years you were living it? You know, there was one man who was a international fashion model and who left all of that behind, you know, to become, to practice the Catholic faith. And so most people wanted to hear what they had to say. I think almost in the sense of, is it real? Is it true? Is it really possible, you know, to live a chaste life if you're same-sex attracted? My part of the program came into play because I was asked there to offer some expertise on the impact of same-sex parenting on children. And people were very interested in that information. And there was me, Paul McHugh, talking about transgenderism, Dr. Timothy Locke talking about he's a counselor, and he was talking about therapeutic approaches for same-sex attracted persons. So I was really one of three people who were experts brought in to help the Synod Fathers, to help the other priests and religious in Rome, to help the seminarians. We held this in a seminary, actually, so there were a lot of seminarians in the audience as well. So that's what we were there to do, was to try to inform people about those issues. Now, of the people who also were there, there were two important cardinals, prominent cardinals, on the panel, you know, who are on the program. And one of them was Cardinal Robert Serra from Guinea, who's a black African cardinal who has a beautiful book out called God or Nothing. And he is a very holy man, very devout man, very, very closely following Jesus. And people, of course, wanted to hear what he had to say. And he's not. What he wants to say is that you follow Jesus, you're going to be okay, you know, and all this other stuff is really all secondary, you know. And then Cardinal Pell of Australia was there, and what he had to say was to basically say the church is not going to change its doctrine. The church cannot change its doctrine, and what we need to do is to find ways to teach more clearly so the doctrine can be helpful to people. And, you know, when he finished, Todd, when he finished and he left the podium, tried to leave, he was mobbed by reporters. He ended up giving a little miniature press conference right there on the spot because everybody wanted to hear, what does Cardinal Pell have to say? You couldn't get anywhere near him, microphones in his face and everything. But basically, he's reiterating, you know, the ancient teaching of the church, of the Catholic Church, which is the same teaching that all the Christian denominations had right up until 5 minutes ago, as you know very well, All Christian churches taught exactly the same thing, continue to teach exactly the same thing, and the Christian denominations that are not teaching the same thing have really gone off the reservation or inventing their own religion. Everybody wanted to hear what Cardinal Pell had to say, and because the Western media know who he is and have heard of him, and Cardinal Serra, they didn't know him as well, and so they weren't mobbing him. But, you know, if you were there, and if you heard him, and if you saw him, if you read his words, you would really want to hear what Cardinal Serra had to say, because he's a good, good, holy man. I have been reading his book, and it was really an honor, to be on a program that was anywhere near this guy.
Now, you mentioned earlier the completely different perspective that, say, the Third World Church has on these issues, that in the West, it's all about continuing our sexual revolution. How do they look at that? What is their perspective on the West's continued march toward, in essence, kind of family destruction?
I think they think we've lost our minds. You know, I don't know how else to put it, Todd. The third world countries, and I hesitate even to call them that. I mean, we are the so-called developed world. Whenever I write about this, the so-called developed world is continuing its march into apostasy and the destruction of the family. The so-called underdeveloped countries have been so grateful that Christianity taught them about one man, one woman for life. They can't believe we're walking away from it. You know, some of those countries have had terrible histories of polygamy, and they know what polygamy really is. Polygamy is not some sanitized HBO thing. They know that that is not good for women. They know that it's not good for children. They know that one man, one woman for life is what builds up the family in mutual love. They love that. They can't believe we're walking away from it. You know, they don't get it. So they think we've lost our minds. I mean, that's the short version. And they are not going to be talked out of the position of Jesus Christ, because it's too close in their memories, you know, to see things that, you know, Western feminists whine about men abusing them. You haven't seen real abuse of women in the West compared to what goes on in a lot of other countries. And so, and non-Christian countries, countries that have been influenced by the gospel of Jesus Christ, are countries that respect and revere women and take good care of women. And so these third world men, you know, are looking at us like we've lost our minds, that we would walk away from all that, especially in the name of women's equality. They just think they can't, you know, there is no way those guys are going to sit down quietly and accept us trying to change the teachings of the church, because they respect and appreciate what the church has brought to them, and they're not going to let it go.
Dr. Jennifer Roback Morris is our guest. She'll be with us for a few minutes on the other side of the break on this Monday afternoon, the 12th of October. We're talking about the Roman Catholic Synod on the Family. She's founding president of the Ruth Institute, based in San Marcos, California. She's author of the new book, The Sexual Revolution and Its Victims. We'll be right back.
Did you know that we send out an email each week that details upcoming show topics? It's available for you to include in your weekly church bulletin. Just click the Issues Etc. Journal logo at our homepage, issuesetc.org, and sign up to receive the church bulletin blurb. It's an easy way to invite your fellow parishioners to listen to Issues Etc. issuesetc.org. Look for the Issues Etc. Journal logo and register to receive a weekly bulletin paragraph from Issues Etc.
In my family, education means cultivating wisdom and virtue by teaching what is good, true, and beautiful. Memoria Press makes this type of education possible with their classical Christian curriculum. Characterized by simplicity, quality, and affordability, Memoria Press gives my children a rich classical education. Get $5 off your next order by using the coupon code LPR. For more information, go to memoriapress.com. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time.
Where Christianity meets culture, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Do you have a hard time finding Christian greeting cards and gifts that aren't either sappy or theologically suspect? Ad Crucem offers the perfect combination of art and the truth of the scriptures with beautiful and reverent greeting cards and gifts. Deliver the true comfort of the gospel, Christ crucified for sinners, to family and friends with Ad Crucem. ADCRUCEM.com. Confessing the faith through art and word. AdCrucem.com.
I'm not a Christian, but I listen to your show because actually you do have some interesting topics.
Here's a recent comment from the Issues Etc. comment line.
You believe that there's not one error in the Bible. That's intellectually infantile. You also believe that Jesus is coming again. You promote extremely sexually repressive views.
The Issues Etc. comment line. Available 24/7. 618-223-8382.
Have fun waiting for Jesus to return. Got news for you. He ain't coming back.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. On this Monday afternoon, October the 12th, we're talking about the Roman Catholic Synod on the Family. Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse of the Ruth Institute is our guest. Jennifer, I wanted to pick up on something you said before, and it sounds like, to kind of summarize how the so-called third world bishops and Roman Catholics look at the West, they are stunned that we in the West would abandon family, marriage, family, all of those things, because they see them, it sounds like, as a protection for women and children rather than some kind of a cage for them. What are your thoughts?
Well, I think that's exactly right, Todd. I mean, and I think if you look at it in a historical perspective, that's exactly right. And what we have done in the West is we've substituted a very peculiar, lopsided view of what freedom means in order to convince ourselves that we're more free because we get to do whatever we feel like, right? But as you and I have talked about on this program many times, we are more free in a sense at the front end of our decision making. But then at the back end, we have far more constraints placed on us than we ever would have if we'd just gotten married and stayed married, you know? So if we're free to get divorced, we can get divorced, but now if we have children and we've left the children behind, we're dealing with the family court on a regular basis, and the family court is going through our finances and sending psychological evaluators to see who's really an appropriate parent, and all these kinds of things, all these ways the law and the state is involved in our family life in a way that they never would have been if we had just gotten married and stayed married the way Jesus told us to a long time ago. Women and children certainly are more protected because the one man, one woman system says that every child is entitled to a relationship with both of their parents and is entitled to know who they are. And every parent, man and woman alike, they both have an interest in their children, and they both have an equal interest in their children. It's not simply that father knows best and father gets to decide everything, or mother knows best and mother gets to decide everything, which is kind of what ends up happening after, you know, a no-fault divorce and child ends up with one parent. No, both parents are recognized in law and in culture as having rights and responsibilities with respect to their child. As soon as mom and dad break it up and let the law come between them, that's no longer the case. So the interest of children in a relationship with both of their parents, the interest of children in knowing their own identity, those kinds of things are protected by one man, one woman for life, which is the model that Jesus gave us back in Matthew 19 and the corresponding passage in Mark 10. That's what Jesus was trying to give us. He was trying to keep us out of all the kind of trouble that we've been making for ourselves over the last 50 years. And so when I stood up at this pre-synod conference that I spoke at, I didn't just launch right into, let's talk about children and same-sex parents. I started off, Todd, with the idea that children have rights, that children are entitled to a mother and a father and a relationship with their mother and father, and that every adult is entitled to know who they are and to know their own identity, and that those things are breaking down all around us. As soon as you start talking like that and say kids have rights, well, then you see that what we're talking about is much bigger than just whether gay couples should be adopting kids or using sperm banks. We're talking about divorce. We're talking about non-marital childbearing. We're talking about all those kind of issues, you know, that you know I've been talking about for years. But that was my way in for helping people see this is a big thing we're talking about. And the things on the agenda of the Catholic Synod are exactly at the heart of the whole sexual revolution, you know, that whether we approve of divorce and whether we're more concerned about the adults than about the children, that's a huge question. And the West, the whole West, has decided that we care more about adults than we care about children. And the question is the Catholic Church going to follow suit with that? And I think in some pastoral contexts, a lot of guys do. You know, a lot of the priests kind of ignore the fact that the kids are suffering. You know, they kind of, well, let's get people back into the church and, now, let's not say anything too mean about divorced people. We don't want people to feel bad, so on. But what all of that does is sacrifice the interests of the child. So when we were asked for pastoral recommendations, one of my first biggest pastoral recommendations is you need to have some kind of pastoral care for adult children of divorce so that those people get some support from the church, because even 30 years later, some of them are still suffering. And then secondly, you need to have something in your parishes for any child now, not adult child, but any little kids, any children who are not living with both of their parents, both of their biological parents. And you have a program like that. You have it set up. You have it ongoing. It's there for children whose parents have died. It's there for children whose parents have divorced. It's there for children of same-sex couples who might want to be quote-unquote welcomed into your community. It's the community saying that this child has lost something. If they don't have, if they're not living with both of their parents, they have, in fact, lost something. And we're not singling anybody out. We're just telling the truth about all the kids, and we're there for all the kids. I think all the churches need to be doing that. And people seem to respond well to that recommendation. So I'm hopeful about that. And you know, of course, the guys in the synod are all, you know, they're worried about a whole lot of things, including the procedures. You know, the procedures at synod have gotten all distorted, it sounds like. But we at the Ruth Institute, we are here to continue to say that children have rights, and we invite all of your listeners to help us keep saying that children have rights. And if we don't stand up for them, nobody will.
What, in a general sense, what has come out of meetings like this in the past, where the fathers of the church have gathered together to discuss the family?
Well, I, as far as I know, there's never been anything quite like this meeting. You know, so it's in a way historically unprecedented to say what's going to come out of it. Here's what I don't want to have happen. What I don't want to have happen is that the church reaffirms the ancient teaching and reaffirms the doctrine, but because it seemed like it was in question and up in the air, everybody says, oh, well, we don't have to believe that anymore. We don't have to do that anymore. We'll just go on about our business. That's what happened after the birth control encyclical. That's what happened in 1968 when Pope Paul VI issued Humana Vitae. Everybody thought, oh, well, the church is going to change its tune. And, of course, the church didn't change its tune. It can't change its tune, you know. And so the dissenters, the Catholic dissenters, got a hold of the microphone and have never put it down since. The media has lived off of Catholic dissenters. And that's what I don't want to have happen. That's what I fear will have happen. And that's why it's so important that organizations like the Ruth Institute, organizations like Courage International, why we keep getting an opportunity to speak out on programs like Issues, etc., so that people know that the ancient teachings of the church really are the good and humane teachings that Jesus picked out for us. After all, this was not something we made up. Jennifer Roback Morse did not invent this. That's what I like about it. I like the fact that it's Jesus who invented it, you know, and he knows what he's talking about, and he's trying to keep us out of trouble. So it's very important that you've given us the chance to talk here, and that that we continue to proclaim this truth. What's going to come out of that synod? It's right now, we're at the beginning of week number two. It's almost impossible to say what's going to come out of it because it sounds like chaos over there, really, to tell you the truth. If you read the reports, may end up having an African pope, having to follow an African pope, figure out what's going on.
A couple of final questions for you here, Jennifer. Why do you think that the advocates of the sexual revolution have fixated and targeted the Roman Catholic Church in particular?
Oh, come on, Todd. You know the answer to that, because we're their biggest opponent, you know? They knew perfectly well from the very beginning. They knew that their opponent would always be the Catholic Church. So whether you're talking about Alfred Kinsey and the people who promoted him, they knew that the Catholic Church was going to say that this stuff is nonsense. Whether it's the people who are promoting contraception, people promoting abortion, people promoting no-fault divorce, all those people have known from the beginning, we go change the laws, the Catholic Church is going to stand up against us. And so we need to do something to neutralize the Catholic Church or persuade the Catholic Church or corrupt the Catholic Church, but we've got to do something about those Catholics because they're the biggest target. And I would turn the question around and ask you, why are you as Lutherans so interested in what the Catholic Church does? And I think the answer is because you know if we go down, you're going down with us. if they take us out, they're going to squash you like bugs, you know. And I'm not saying that to be mean, but I mean I just think that's the reality of the situation. I think that's the reality everybody understands. I hope I can ask our Lutheran brothers and sisters to pray for that synod, to pray for those synod fathers over there, that they do the right thing. You know, there are a number of petitions going around. At one time, we had a petition about it. But it's just very important that all believers stand together on this.
Pope Francis was in the United States, of course, a couple of weeks ago, and kind of the thread running through all of his addresses, whether you agreed or disagreed with how he approached it, was justice. He's a man who cares deeply about justice. Is the family, and you spoke earlier about children's having rights, is the family also a justice issue?
Oh, you know, I absolutely. As far as I'm concerned, that's the way we have learned to frame the issue, because that's the deep, deep truth here. The deep truth here is that a grave injustice is being done to children. Every time parents reject one another, they don't realize it, but they're actually rejecting half of who their child is. See, that's the thing. When you say, and people say this all the time, we still love you, honey. We just don't love one another. Well, you know, a child can't make sense of that. And the reason a child can't make sense of it is because it isn't really true. What the parent is saying is, I want something else more than I want a relationship with half of you, which is to say your other parent, you know? And so the child, especially a little child, you can't expect them to work that out on their own, that really there's nothing wrong with them and it's something's gone wrong with the parents and it's, I'm really okay and they really do love me. No, if you're leaving your spouse for another person, you're telling your child, my relationship with the other person is more important to me than my relationship with your other parent, which is to say, with half of who you are. And that's a grave injustice to children. And I call it a structural injustice to children because you can't really make it up. You know, you can't correct it by being a good parent in other dimensions. You know, you read a lot of bedtime stories and you pay for college education and you show up to their soccer matches and all those things. You do all those things that parents should do, but you've rejected half of who the child is. That structural injustice is still there, no matter how good you are in all the other dimensions. And the fact is, most of the time when people are living with another spouse, they aren't doing those things as much as they would do if they were actually living with the child's other parent, you know. So there's a lot of self-deception that goes on, and there's a lot of attempt to, you know, kind of shape the child's mind to make it so that it's okay for the child. And that's really how I started up my presentation over there, Todd. I basically said, you know, we have all these things social science people like to measure, you know, schooling outcomes and health outcomes and mental health outcomes and do the kids end up in criminal justice system and all these things that we can easily measure. What I want to say to you is that all of these things we're running around measuring, they're flowing from that basic injustice that basic structural injustice that's been perpetrated against the child, and that the child really cannot make sense of, and it's wrong to even ask us to try to ask the child to make sense of, it's no wonder they're anxious. It's no wonder they're confused. It's no wonder they're upset, you know, and not doing well in school. You know, they've got something very big hanging over their heads, put there by people who shouldn't have put it there. And to just back off from that theme just a little bit and say to the adults in this situation, look, a lot of people made these decisions because they were lied to. A lot of people who left perfectly okay marriages, perfectly adequate marriages, because the culture told them the kids will be fine, the kids are resilient, the kids will get over it. Just a temporary adjustment for them. And a lot of people believed that and ordered their lives around it. And to me, the people who are the most gravely accountable here are the people who are perpetrating that set of cultural lies, because they're inducing people to do things that they simply wouldn't do if they were fully informed. You know, I hear that all the time from people. If I had known how hard divorce was going to be, I would have worked a lot harder at my marriage. If I had known how hard it was going to be on my kids, I would have worked a lot harder at staying married. I hear that all the time, and I'm sure you have listeners who feel that way too.
Dr. Jennifer Roback-Morse is founding president of the Ruth Institute based in San Marcos, California. She taught economics for 15 years at Yale and George Mason universities. She's author of the new book, The Sexual Revolution and Its Victims. You can find out more about this book at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Jennifer, thank you very much.
Thank you, Todd.
When we come back, we're going to talk with Molly Ziegler-Hemingway of The Federalist. I don't know whether to call those who frequent Planned Parenthood patients. That's what Planned Parenthood wants to call its clientele, or customers. But in any event, if you look at the customer reviews of Planned Parenthood, you get a pretty scary picture of what happens in there. We'll go through some of that with Molly Ziegler-Hemingway of The Federalist right after this.
Have you been too busy to get your associate's, bachelor's, or master's degree? Concordia University, Wisconsin offers 50 online educational options. Find out more at issuesetc.org. Click the Concordia University online logo and enter the program code ISSUES to waive your application fee. Concordia University, Wisconsin is here to strengthen and support the church. Lifelong Lutheran Learning. issuesetc.org and click Concordia University, Wisconsin online.
LutheranReformation.org is the brand new one-stop shop for all things Reformation. It's your source for news, events, history, videos, activities, educational resources, and much, much more. New resources will be added regularly, each one designed to help you celebrate and remember the 500th anniversary of the Reformation. Because Reformation 2017 is still all about Jesus. Visit LutheranReformation.org today. LutheranReformation.org.
There are nearly 20 million college students in the United States. 40% will stop going to church during college. 50% will never return. The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod is seeking to meet this challenge through LCMSU. Why? Because 100% of college students matter to God and to His church. College is tough. You need Jesus. We'll help. LCMSU. Check us out at lcms.org/lcmsu.
Epiphany Lutheran Church in Door, Michigan gathers to receive our Lord's gifts in word, baptism, and supper every Sunday morning at 9:15. Bible study at 11. Join us at 4219 Park Lane in Door, or visit us on the web, epiphanydoor.org. Christ-centered, cross-focused, historic, confessional, liturgical, Epiphany Lutheran Church in Door, Michigan, epiphanydoor.org, 616-681-0791.
Talk radio for the Christian worldview. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Our school is committed to authentic Lutheranism, the entire Book of Concord, and indeed to authentic Lutheranism as it has continued to be confessed and practiced through the centuries, right up into our own time.
Dr. Cameron McKenzie, chairman of the Department of Historical Theology at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
We're committed then to biblical, confessional Christianity and Lutheranism and applying it to the world of today in as effective a way as we can.
You can find out more about studying for the pastoral ministry at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, at ctsfw.edu, ctsfw.edu, or call 1-800-481-2155. Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana.